just pray. We're going to be heading out the road in the morning, headed down to Harrison, Arkansas. And so pray that your preacher gets preached to while he's down there. Amen. And then we'll be coming back Saturday, late afternoon, early evening, and be here Sunday morning. All right, so just lift us up in your prayers. Who needs prayed for tonight? Raise your hand. Well, I know I do. All right, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. All right, let's go to the Lord. God hears it all, people. I mean, he'll hear you. If you just trust him and tell him what's on your heart, what's on your mind, and be honest with him, he'll listen to you, okay? Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for all that I have and all that you blessed me with. And, Lord, you have never been bad to me, ever. You've never treated me wrong. Fact of the matter is, God, you've always treated me better than any way that I've ever deserved. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I've been mindful of that today. And I thank you, God, Lord, for being there with me and helping me. And Lord, giving me, Lord, I just thank you, dear God, for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for what it means. Lord, what a blessing it is, Lord, to open this book and to know something out of it. To know just a little part of you, God, that's a blessing to me. Lord, just help me to teach it tonight in a way that would honor and glorify you and be a blessing to these people tonight. Lord, they've been in the world all week, and they've heard the world's things, and they've listened to the world talk. And Lord, they've come in here tonight, God, because they want tonight, all of us, Lord, from me on down. And Lord, just deal with us, convict us if you have to. Lord, correct us if you need to. Help us, Lord. I just pray, God, that you'd bless these folks here tonight. And Father, we do pray for Joe tonight. Lord, we love him. He's just a good guy. And he's our friend. And he's our brother. And, Lord, we just ask, God, that you're the best work, God, that you can do, best work to be done. We don't know what that is. And, Lord, it's not that we don't care. It's just that, God, we trust you so much to know that you know what's right. You know what you're going to do and what you want to do. And Lord, we just ask for favor upon Joe. Lord, we would ask for healing, Lord, if it be in your will. We would ask for your grace, dear God, which I know is in your will, for him and for Dee. Lord, for their boys, that needs a lot of your help. And Lord, if there's something that our church can do for them, Lord, just lead us into it. We'll do it. We'll do it gladly. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you'd be with them tonight, be with that family. And Lord, Father, we're going to open up your word tonight, and I pray, God, that you would just open our hearts and our minds, dear God. And Lord, already in my mind and my heart, God, I know, Lord, how I think you're leading me tonight, and what a blessing this is. And Lord, just use it. He's here tonight, those that are listening. And Lord, we'll just give you all the praise and all the glory that you've got coming. And it's, Lord, forever and ever, we'll never finish praising you. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews. It's good to have everybody here tonight. We got a fella here. He's actually more famous than you guys. He really is. He comes to us from Orange County, California. Amen. Used to be. I still think the San Andreas Fault's going to break off, and it's going to just go float out toward Guam. But anyway, what's your first name again? Todd. He just walked in, sat down, and stuck his feet up, and he said, "I'm Todd, and I'm here." Hey, Todd, how you doing? I mean, if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it, I guess. And he just was talking about he's kind of going through and wanted to stop and visit. He told Gary that he was on his way. So he has been on a TV show. TV show. Look at him hanging his head. Can I tell him? Storage Wars. Yeah. Storage Wars. Yeah, way. Yeah. Really? You talk to him about it. It's fake as a $3 bill. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anybody that watches it would go, you know, he said he's been in an episode of that. And so anyway, but he's done a lot of things. And so we're just glad to have him tonight, and you make him feel welcome. All right, give him some of that Midwest hospitality, all right? back here in the land where we don't put pineapple on our pizza. Lots of bacon and sausage. Amen. Pork fat rules. Hebrews chapter 11. There's one verse out of here, and I want us to look at something tonight, and it didn't take me long as I was looking over this to really just kind of, I may be a little bit emotional tonight, that you just bear with me, okay? In Hebrews chapter 11, I want us to look in verse 29. We talked last week about the Passover and so on. In verse 29, Hebrews 11, 29, this is what they did by faith. Here's what faith will accomplish in your life. And that's really the meaning of what we're looking at in Hebrews. Remember, the teaching of Hebrews is to teach us that we're saved without the works of the law. Well, what is it when you take the works of heaven? It's just teaching you what can be done, what has been done, and what can be done when it's accomplished by faith. And so in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Now, something I was going to do today, and I forgot to do it. Somebody get their smartphone out, look up the word assay, A-S-S-A-Y-I-N-G. Kind of let me know what that word means. And I want us to look first very quickly at what this is a picture of. Take your Bibles, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is something that, I mean, if you've watched Charlton Heston, then you kind of know what this is about, all right? This is from the movie The Ten Commandments, but it goes all the way back to the book of Exodus, and eventually we're going to be in Exodus chapter 14, so just kind of be thinking about that, all right? But the Bible's teaching us all of these things that were real, because God said that all these things were written for our learning, okay? He said all these things are written for our admonition. He said all these things are written so that we would not do what they did back in the Old Testament. He said, go back and learn what they, watch the mistakes that those that came before you made. Don't make those mistakes. That's good advice. Somebody say amen. That's why that stuff is still in our Bible. It's still good. It still has an object for us, and it means something for us today. What does a saying mean? You look back at that verse. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempted, or essaying, to do, were drowned. Okay? It worked for the Israelites. Stinks to be Pharaoh. Amen. So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, turn your Bible back there. He said, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Boy, that's a loaded statement in the Bible. You stop and think about that for a while. And I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe I'm going to pierce this Bible. Do you really know how much? And I'll do it here tonight, because I did it online the other day. And I you've heard me preach, and I think everybody in this church agrees with. I don't like the fact in this country that a lot of Americans are working for people who can work and won't work. Amen. Now I'm not against helping people that cannot do for themselves. That is a Christian, that is a biblical mandate, and I'm all for that. But you and I both know that in this, and toiling and everything else, and the government is taking 20, 25, 30% of our check every week, and they're taking part of that money and giving that to people who can work but refuse to work, and they get some kind of letter from the government saying, I can't do anything, and we're paying their bills. Doesn't that make you mad? Okay? I'm just going to be mean just for a minute tonight. I've already had some people write me some emails, said, Pastor, thank you. Okay? Because last week, an online broadcast, welfare. In other words, you don't mind coming to church, letting me do all the work in the Bible for you, hand it out to you, give it to you every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, then you turn around and go home, and you don't do anything for yourself, and you're completely capable of doing it. Now, I'm your pastor, and I'm your friend, and I love you, and I'm not saying I am better than anybody in this church, because God knows that I'm not. Lisa Hoggard knows that I'm not. I know that it is my job to toil and labor in this word. It is also your job as well. It's your salvation. It's your family. It's your children. It's your decisions that you're making in life. You have just as much right and ability to read and study what's in this Bible as I do. Got just as much of it as I do. And so if you've been riding the Christian welfare wagon, by Jonathan. That's what has drawn away millions into apostate Christianity in this country and around the world, is that kind of Christian welfare nonsense. The people show up for the Sunday service looking nice. They have the praise and worship service. They'll say, well, that pastor, he'll tell me what's right. And they believe whatever comes out of his mouth, and they run home with it, and they're being lied to all the way to the gates of hell. Okay? Now, he said, I would not that you should be ignorant. How much about the doctrines and the faith and the stories and the lessons and the analogies and the verses and the blessings and the curses, how much of that do you really know out of this Bible from your own mind and from your own heart? You can actually, when it comes to your mind, you can actually see it on the page in your Bible. Those of you who've got those old worn out Bibles, amen, with markings all in it, and when a verse comes to your mind, you're so familiar with your Bible, you can see it on the page. If all you're getting out of Bible Christianity is what I'm working for and giving to you, you need to think about it. You pray about it. You think about it, all right? I said that last week online, and I've had three or four people write me back and said, Pastor, that was me. Thank you for saying that. And I got to thinking, well, you know what? It ain't fair that I send it out here all over the place. All right, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to go back and read these stories again. And don't watch the movie. Amen. Don't watch the History Channel.
Yes, that's right.
Okay? Go back and read it. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And then verse 2, look at this. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The whole deal of the Red Sea was a picture of baptism. About that, but water baptism is in itself a picture of how God brings us. Listen now, how God brings us to the other side. Okay, how God brings us to the other side. We're here. We're and we want to be over where God is. We want to be with the blessings of God. We want to be where His Word is and everything like that. We want to be in heaven. And God is going to pass us through. The Bible tells you in Genesis chapter 1 that God divided the waters, separates us from, let's say, the moon. It's the cloud base and all that stuff. And I can actually point it to you out in the Bible, and I don't have time to explain it tonight. There's actually waters that separates us from heaven. The throne of God is on a sea, clear as crystal. Okay? And it is separating us from God. But anyway, we want to get to the other side. Just like the Israelites when they got to the River Jordan. All they wanted was to get to the other side. Get to the other side. That's where Canaan land was. And here again, they got to cross the waters. They got to be baptized in the Red Sea. Most of those people died in the wilderness. So they had the generation that grew up in the wilderness. What happened to them before they went into the Promised Land? They had baptism. They passed through the water, the River Jordan, so they could get to the other side. And I'm just going to ask you tonight, maybe some things and areas in your life that you'd like to get to the other side on. You think about that for a while. Maybe there's just some areas of life that you're dealing with right now or have dealt with in the past, and you'd like to be in the Promised Land to be. And I can preach this many different ways. Things in life that are bothering you. You've got Pharaoh just beating you to death, and he's got you in bondage and everything like that. And yet God has promised you a blessing on the other side of that, and you would sure like to get there, and God is going to take you there, but He's going to take you through the waters first. He's going to take you through the Red Sea first. He's going to baptize you to get you to where He wants you to be. And sometimes that's not pretty. Sometimes it's not nice. Sometimes it's going to be hard for us to take. Trust Him. Somebody say amen. Now I'm going to show you how God will do this. The more I read and study and preach this Bible, the more I'm convinced of the absolute working of God in my life, and I just take almost no credit whatsoever other than I just believe this book, and I'm just doing what God wants me to do. But I believe in the work of Almighty God, and I'm going to show it to you here when we get to the book of Exodus. But that whole idea about baptism and about the Red Sea, they were baptized to get to the other side. When we live for God, then what happens is we take them in here and we put them down in the water and bring them back up. Did you know that does not save them? They were saved before they ever got in there. Amen. Water baptism does not save anybody's soul. That's a lie That's a heresy. That's work salvation. And that, you know what that means? A man must baptize you. Well, if the man don't baptize you, you're lost. Do you think that there's ever been a church refused to do it? Maybe a black man coming into a white church 40, 50 years ago, this could, I'd like to be baptized. They wouldn't touch him. If water baptism saved us, or if earthly elements saved us, then people could be lost because a man decided that they should be lost, not God. That's not God's idea of salvation. Can I hear you say amen? It's not what God said. And so anyway, but that's what that's a picture of. It is a picture, number one, of what happens, generates him. When God makes him new. When a man comes down, he's broken. I had a guy call me, what was that, this morning? Called me this morning. He had talked to me last week, I think, and he's from Pennsylvania, and he was talking about this. I won't tell you the details, but he's talking about this church he went to and how he belonged to this and that and the other. And he said, in just that little time, he called me back this morning. He said, I'm convinced they're not right. He said, I'm seeing some things. I've heard you preach on some of the stuff. And he said, boy, I wish I had a church to go to. He said, I'm going to go to your church. He said, well, while I got you on the phone, he said, I just need to know. The man started breaking right there on the phone. He said, I would just really, really like to know whether or not I was going to heaven or not. And he said, I'm just ready right now to give my life over to Jesus Christ. And he said, Pastor, would you pray with me right now that I could do that? Well, I'll tell you what, that's easy soul winning. Amen. Just sit back in that comfortable chair I got and wait for the phone to ring. Hello, would you like to be saved today? Yes, I would be. All right, let's go. We prayed, and I'm going to tell you what, that man, I've never seen him in this earth, amen, but I believe I'll see him in heaven. But see, God saved him, and God's regenerated him, and the Holy Ghost has already baptized him. He's done it with the water of his word. He's already washed him clean with the water of God's word. Okay? So hope he finds a church, maybe he can come. I'll baptize him if he'll come here. Okay? I ain't driving to Pennsylvania to do it. Okay? But if he'll come here, I'll baptize him. But what all that'll show, what God has already done, it's showing what is going to happen again in the last days. Did you know that his body is going to drop down in a grave somewhere and it's going to rot and corrupt? That's what this is. That's why we don't baptize by going, shh, or ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Okay? We don't do that. We take them down like they were dead. Because that's what Romans 6 tells us to do. Buried with him in baptism. So that like as Christ raised from the dead, we come up brand new. Amen. You know how Caleb did this the other day. He come in, I made him take a shower. We'd been outside, I made him take a shower. He got out of the shower, I think it was Saturday. We'd been out there picking that brush up and everything like that. He jumped in the shower, come back out, and he said, boy, I feel good. It don't hurt to bathe. Amen. And God gives us that analogy and that typology. The things, the pleasures of real life of getting out of a good, clean bath. If you've never experienced that, I'd like to bring you over to the clean side of God. Amen. Take a bath every now and then. All right. But that's what that's a picture of. Now, and by the way, the whole gist of what I'm saying to you tonight is that it's by faith. Don't come in here saying, oh, Pastor Harvard, I saw you on that there internet. I'd like for you to baptize me so I can go to heaven. You believe the Bible? Well, I believe parts of it. Why don't you go on back home till you get it? Ask Philip when he was in that chariot. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip, by the leadership of the Holy Ghost, said, thou mayest. If you take out verse 37, which the NIV does. Okay? Is it verse 36 or 37? One of them, anyway. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. God. Something like that. Okay? He believed. Now he can be water baptized. Okay? It's by faith. Faith, faith, faith. Amen? And it's just like I said, we've never had a baptism in this church where I would say, Brady, you want to be baptized? Get in there and do it. Got to baptize their dad, okay? You guys left him under way too little. I mean, I'd have messed with him. You know, hey, Dad, are you sure? You are baptized. You don't baptize yourself. You know what that means? You don't clean yourself. You don't wash yourself. That's the purpose of faith, not works. It's what has been done to you, not what you did yourself. Ezekiel or Exodus. I do that all the time. Exodus 14, not Ezekiel 14. Okay? Exodus chapter 14. Some might say, Pastor, why do you preach this stuff like this, the way you do? Because I've been here. I've been through things like this in my life, my way out. Dug a hole for myself, dug a trap for myself. Couldn't get out. Hadn't been for the Lord Jesus, would have never got out. Amen? If it hadn't been for the Lord, it just would have never happened. And I want us to just spend some time here tonight and just look at this. In Exodus 14, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. And I want you to, that's the big thing right there, turn. Until you turn. Amen. You're going one, and God's leading. Amen. God's leading all the way. But he's going to have you turn. The direction that you were going, God's in charge now. And God says, this is not the way I want you to go. I've got a plan for you. And God knew what he was going to do. And in this, you study this chapter out on your own, and you after service tonight, you just spend some time looking at this again and talking to God about it. God led these people into a trap, deliberately, on purpose. He will lead you into a situation that you cannot help your way back out of it on your own power. You cannot do it. I'm going to spend the rest of my life preaching as an apologetic. And what that means, I'm not sorry for it. What it means is, I'm going to lay evidence upon evidence upon evidence upon proof upon proof upon proof that salvation is the work of Almighty God. Amen. It is the belief and the choice of man. Man has it. You watch this. In verse 2, and excuse me, in verse 4, what is God going to do to Pharaoh? I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now I want you to start reconciling in your mind, and you listen to me, and you listen to me real good, that the situation, maybe some of you tonight, sitting here in this building or listening to me tonight, you're in a situation right now. It doesn't look like, I got a letter from somebody today that said it just seems like everything in their life is hopeless. And if you're listening to me tonight, in fact, I didn't get the letter today. I just now read it today. It's been on my desk for a few days. And it was a lady, I think. If you're listening to me tonight, just let God help you and let God talk to you, okay? But anyway, you're in a situation, and I want you to see the leading of God in that situation where it looks like, I'm even going to say this, because this is absolutely what I wholeheartedly believe. I want you to even think maybe tonight of the worst thing, the worst sin or the worst sinful time or sinful lifestyle that you've ever been in your life. I want you to think about that tonight. And I want to tell you that what I know according to this Bible is that God, and I don't want you to get me wrong, God let you be in that position. He could have held you back. If you'll go look at the first two chapters of the book of Judges, God showed me this one day, and it helped me so much, and it was just so profound that I've never gotten over it since. I'm just holding back tears tonight just thinking about it. When God told Joshua in the first two chapters of the book of Judges, he told the Israelites, he said, when you went into Canaan land, and God said, let me tell you something. I left them there. I left them in there. You know why? He said, because now you got a generation of young people that's grown up. They didn't fight those wars like Joshua did. Now they're living in this land. You know why I left them there? Teach them how to fight. He did. You go back and read it. First two chapters of the book of Judges. God said, I left them there to teach them how to fight. Teach them no warfare. What did David say in the Psalms? Lord, teach my fingers to fight. Teach me how to do this. The things, the traps that you've been in, the worst things that you have ever gotten yourself into, God was in control of it the whole time, but you didn't see it. And you whined and belly ached. Oh God, you've left me. God, there's no God. And all this stuff. And you whined and complained, and God was standing there the whole time. And He let you go through that for a reason. Teach you something. And you learned something. And God brought you out of it. And you were praising God, thanking God. But now your mind is going back to things that God showed you while you were in there. And you're a little bit better off now than you were back then. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know what God was doing? He was teaching how to fight. He was teaching no warfare. This is what it's like. God said, this is what it's like. Because when a kickboxer goes in the MMA octagon, if he's never done that before, he's going to get killed. Mixed martial arts is real stuff. I kind of like it a little bit because, I mean, it's down and dirty and it's pretty real. And if you don't know what you're doing in there, some guy's going to kill you. They'll break your arms in half if you don't know what you're doing in there. These guys have to train and train and train and train and train. And they have to get... And I'm just saying to you, maybe the biggest battle that you've ever fought, you haven't fought yet. Maybe the biggest one that you haven't dealt with yet. And maybe everything that God has brought you through so far, He's been trying to train you to get you to that one. Have you ever thought about that one before? I have. So anyway, God's in charge here. God is the one who went and got Pharaoh. Do not get past Him. His enemies do not get past Him. That is in stark contrast to the whole doctrine of the charismatic word faith movement. Charismatic word faith movement teaches you that God Himself was the biggest failure in the whole Bible because He lost control of the planet by giving it to Adam, and Satan took it over in the Garden of Eden. They say God was a failure on that day. He failed. Couldn't do anything. And so now God is a servant to us. We must. It's a heresy. It's a joke. And it's going to lead to a falling away. So anyway, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? And that we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And why did God do that? We're going to get to that in a minute. In verse 9, the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, I remember reading that one time, Brady, and I'm going, look at there, they're crying out unto the Lord, praise God. They whined, bellyached, complained, murmured, accused God, like you did. When you got mad at God, I've done it. I've been mad at God and complained and bellyached the whole time to God. Why did you do this? Why did you let me into this? Why did you bring me here? And they cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? You know, they're being smart alecks. They're smarting off. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee? Didn't we tell you this? Have you not ever been in a situation where you told God, God, I told you it was going to turn out like this. That's why I didn't want to do it. The woman, the Shunammite woman, who'd never had a baby, next year she said, don't you say that to me. Don't say that to me. Don't get my hopes up. I'm fine. Leave me alone. He said, I'm telling you, you're going to be having a baby this time next year. She had the baby. She's nursing and raising this little boy. He's out in the field with daddy. Something happens. My head, dead. He's laying there dead in his mama's arms. And she brought him to the man of God, and she said, I told you. He said, I'll show you this kind of God right here.
Amen.
Brought him back to life again. He said, here you go. This is the God that we serve. This is it right here. So anyway, they're in that, and you know, because you know what they're doing? Here's the Red Sea right here. And it's wider than the Mississippi River. You ever seen the Mississippi River? You just go right over here tomorrow morning and just look across. I don't know that I could, okay? It ain't like the Rio Grande. You ever seen the Rio Grande? It's about as wide as this pulpit. People say, man, I had to cross the Rio Grande to get to my freedom in America. They just went. They were in America. They're backed up against the Red Sea. And they're complaining against God. And then God went and got Pharaoh and put him over there. Now, where is he? He's what? He's right there in the pillar of cloud. They can actually see God's physical presence right there with them. That's more than what you and I get most of the time. They stood there in that pillar of cloud, in that pillar of fire, stood there, and Pharaoh wants around him, but he can't do it, and God's holding him back. And so here is Israel now, trapped. They can't go back, and they think they can't go forward because there is a great gulf here. There's a big sea here. There's water here. There's a barrier that they can't, that nobody standing there would have ever thought of. None of these people. If anybody ever tells you, well, you've got to proclaim what you're going to get from God. Tell me which one of these people said, you know, Moses, I've been thinking maybe if God will part that sea wide enough to where and make the ground dry, maybe we could get across it. Nobody thought of that. I'm pretty smart. And that's what God did. So you ask yourself the number of things that God has done for you that when he did it, you went, I never thought of that. How did God do this? How did God bring me here? How did God do that? That's what separates you from God. That's what divides you from the Almighty. That's why his ways are higher than your ways and his thoughts higher than your thoughts. Because God can actually think, you know, and it's divided. And God led them into that trap. And he's going to perform two things. Now you listen to this. Two things. Number one, he's going to save them and bring them to him. Number two, Pharaoh is never, ever, ever going to get them. And God's going to make sure. It mentions in that specifically that Pharaoh essayed. He attempted to do exactly what the Israelites did. And by the way, God had set Pharaoh up for this. God set Pharaoh up for trying to do what God's people were doing. Remember the deal with the rod and the snake? Pharaoh's guy said, Pharaoh, we can do that. Turn the rods and all God had to do was once the Israelites were on the other side, all God had to do was go. And there comes Pharaoh and all of his chariots and all of his army down into the Red Sea. God looks over on the other side, sees that Israel, the last ones crossing up on the beach, God's looking down here at the armies of Pharaoh going in. Keep going, boys. Come on. And they're gone. Just like that. And they're never going to be chased by Pharaoh again. Now, the sad part of it is, but God knows this. Most of the time, when God really is going to work in us and do something good in us like that, 9 times out of 10, that's how he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to bring us into a trap, into a setting in a situation where we realize that we cannot do this by ourselves. And then, even in the midst, I want to tell you something. Even in the midst of us complaining to him, he will still bless us. At least my mind always goes back to that time when you and I were sitting in that van. And I picked that Bible up and I said, and Lisa said, you know what's true? And I was in that van with you, whining and complaining and mad at God. It ruined our whole, the church had bought us a night at a bed and breakfast. First time we'd ever been to some place like that. I'd never had bed and then breakfast the next day. It's going to be little sweethearts. And our whole day was wrecked. And I was mad at God. And God did more for me after that. And he's helped me. And he's taught me. And he's blessed me. And I have a blessing. And if you come to me after church, I'll tell you what it was. But I have a greatest parts of my life. And I yelled at God. If I tell you that I serve a good God, I mean exactly what I say. He said that he was here. He's shown it to me here and here. And I'm here to tell you, he's good. Especially when you're, see, the Old Testament is all full of, if you'll be good, God will give you stuff. The New Testament is full of, you're no good. I'm going to give you my only son. That's the difference. That's the difference. Amanda, they can go back to that if they want to. All those law keepers and those Hebrew roots, they can all go back. I'm going to stick with the God who, when I've been at my worst, he's been at his best. Amen? It's by faith. By faith. So I believe what God can do. And I'm here to tell you about it, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you tonight. I thank you for everything. I thank you for my wife and my children and my grandchildren. I thank you for my friends here and all the people watching. Thank you for this book I have. And I thank you for that, God. And even, Lord, even when I yelled at you and said, I don't know if this book's right or not, God, you didn't cast me away. So, Father, I'm thankful tonight for what I believe and what I stand on. Because I know it's real, right, in everything that it says. And I don't doubt it, and I don't question it, and I'm not looking for something else beside it. I have it all right here. Lord, I would just really like, God, to spend a lot of time in my life finding some new way of telling everybody that I can how good you are. How good you are. Lord, let me do that. You give me the chance and you give me the opportunity. You give me the breath and you give me the wherewithal and the mind to do it. You give me the voice and I'll do it. And Lord, I'll need your help every step of the way. But I'll do it for you. Lord, bless these people tonight. Let them be encouraged. Let them be blessed. Let them, God, let them. You didn't get mad back at them. You were better than that. So, Lord, just thank you, Lord, for bringing us here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Thank you, Lord God, for teaching us some good things, Lord, that'll help us, Lord, that'll carry us. Lord, help us, dear God, to open this book and find these things out for ourselves. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.